Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and one verse, verse 16, which is the ninth commandment, Exodus 20:16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is the word of God for the people of God. So maybe you've seen some of those funny videos that are on television. I was watching one time where a mom was talking to her three-year-old son about Halloween candy. And she had some empty chocolate bar wrappers in her hand. And she was looking at her son, and on the video, the little boy had chocolate all over his face. And obviously there was something that had been said before about not eating this particular Halloween candy. And so the mom said, "Do you know who ate this candy? They weren't supposed to." And the little boy, just big eyes, shook his head, "No." And the mom said, as she leaned a little closer to him, "Did you eat any of this chocolate candy?" And he looked up at her and went, "No," with chocolate all over his face. So it amazes me to think about how early in life we learn to lie in order to avoid trouble. And yeah, we laugh at it, but at the same time, if you think about it, it's pretty disturbing. It seems like lying is almost instinctively wired into our human nature. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, after eating the forbidden fruit, what do? They run and hide from God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." They didn't want God to know the truth. If you think about it, that's a little bit hilarious. They didn't want God to know what God already knows, because God knows everything. Today, with all the surveillance cameras around, with all the security cameras, everything seems to be caught on video. Nobody can hide. We have dash cams, we have body cams, we have GoPros, we have drones, we have someone's phone. How many criminals have been apprehended because they got caught on camera? You know, how many blue blood mysteries are solved because the detectives look at the video camera and find out who did what? And if not cameras, then lie detectors. If not lie detectors, then DNA testing. If not DNA testing, then fingerprinting. And the list goes on and on and on of ways that we can capture people in a lie. Try this at home one time. Just Google a stupid criminal's caught on camera and just be ready to laugh. There was one that I watched. It was a woman in an art museum, and she took this 2-foot by 2-foot framed painting off the wall and then tried to hide it in her hoodie, underneath her hoodie, as she walked out of the museum. I mean, it was just silly. There's another one where a man, he was in a hardware store, and he saw a chainsaw that he wanted. He took the chainsaw, and he tried to stick it down his pants and walk out of the hardware store with it. It's just hilarious. But just as ridiculous is to lie about something and think that nobody will ever find out. Besides Adam and Eve, in the opening of the Old Testament, when we get to the book of Acts in the New Testament, there's a couple there that their names are Ananias and Sapphira, and they thought they could fool the disciples, or they thought they could get away with lying to God. They pledged to sell some property and give it all to the church. Well, they secretly decided among themselves they're just going to hold some back. But God knew and dealt with them appropriately. God knows. And we might think that we can fool some of the people some of the time, but we can never fool God. Psalm 139, verse 2, the Bible says, "The Lord knows what we think before we think it, what we do before we do it, what we say before we say it, where we go before we go there." That's why one of the Ten Commandments, one of the directives, one of the rules that God establishes for his people to be able to get along together as a people is this ninth commandment. Be honest with each other. God's people, the Israelites, they needed some parameters for their life together to define and identify who they are so that they would be able to live a life that was in order, a life that was full of shalom, full of peace, full of blessing. And so their families, their communities, their nation as a whole could be identified. These are God's people. We can tell by the way they relate to each other, by the way they live. And so one of those important 10 directives, commandments, rules that God had for their life together was don't lie. Because lying breeds distrust, breeds deceit within a relationship, within a community, within a nation. Everyone has this experience because we're human. We say something that's not true to somebody. And then they find out that what we said was not true. And that doesn't feel good. We have that experience. Or we have the other side of the coin, which is somebody says something to us. And then we find out that what they said is not true. And we know what that does to our relationships. We know how that feels. That's why the ninth commandment is there. Thou shalt not lie. No lying. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor is how it's worded, because God sets it in this setting of legal proceeding. False testimony. Don't do that. Because in ancient Israel, there were no surveillance cameras. There were no security cameras. There were no smartphones. There were no lie detectors. There were no DNA testing. There was no CSI Jerusalem. Cases and complaints were brought before a judge, and the verdict was rendered upon witnesses' testimony. It was a witness-based judicial system, not an evidence-based judicial system, but a witness-based judicial system. There's a whole book in the Bible called Judges that just outlines this whole aspect of the life of God's people together. And if you lied and in that system and you were found out that you lied, then the punishment that would have been due to the person that was on trial that you lied about, that innocent person that you falsely testified against, that judgment would be carried out on you. That's what we read about in Judges. So the ninth commandment is about being honest, to put it positively, respecting the truth. We've looked at the Ten Commandments and seen that the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God, have to do with knowing him and loving him and honoring him and trusting him. Commandments 5 through 10 have to do about mostly with our relationship with each other, respecting authority, respecting life, respecting marriage, respecting other people's stuff, and this commandment, respecting the truth. And that is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. Lying is put in the same category of sinfulness as stealing and cheating and murder even. Revelation 21 verse 8. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you manipulate the truth to get your own way, then you are out of line with God and His way and His plan and His purposes. Proverbs 6:16, simple verse, the Lord hates a lying tongue. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, rid yourselves then of all evil, no more lying or deceit or hypocrisy. God just can't say it any clearer in Scripture. Do not lie. I remember many years ago being called as a witness in a trial. It was a very powerful courtroom setting. There's no jury, it was just the judge in this case, and the judge was trying to find out the truth. Because based on his decision, based on his verdict, many lives would be affected. And I remember being called to the witness stand, being asked to raise my right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? That's powerful. And this is how this commandment played out in the life of Israel. In kind of a, with that judicial sense of raising your right hand and promising, swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then allowing that power to affect its way into the relationships that we have with all people, God's people had with each other. So how does this play out in our life today? I think Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 hits the nail on the head for us when it comes to this idea, and that is, Scripture says in that verse, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. You know, people say things that are false. We shouldn't do that. Did you eat any of this candy? No. Well, speaking the truth means you say, yes, I did. When we're on the witness stand in life, we raise our right hand and we say, or we have to answer the question, do I need to straighten out something that I've told someone else that wasn't true? Speak the truth in love, because sometimes we don't say things that are true, okay? Sometimes we say things that aren't true, but sometimes we don't say things that are true. And probably we ought to. I didn't tell you this because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Yeah, that can be harmful to a relationship. That's actually a form of lying, and it's not very loving. Speak the truth in love. Have you heard of this phrase, this term, unintentional unkindness? Have you ever heard that? You kind of see it, I see it mostly when I'm driving. And so say you're driving along, you're in the left-hand lane, there's a four-lane highway, you're in the left lane, and somebody in front of you decides to slow down and stop, and you're wondering, why are they stopping? Well, there's this person on the other side coming the other way, and they're trying to turn left. And this person right in front of you is trying to be kind and stop so that this other person could go ahead and turn left in front of them. The problem is that they can't see who's coming up on the right lane. The problem is that they could turn left in front of this nice person who stopped, but that could be very dangerous to other people. So the person who stopped thought they were being kind, but unintentionally they were being unkind. Do you see how that goes? Unintentional unkindness. We don't want to rock the boat or hurt somebody's feelings. And so in the name of being nice, we don't speak the truth. That's dangerous in a relationship. We stay quiet. Maybe we fudge the facts a little. We fib. That's not quite a lie, is it? If you tell a little white lie, that's not the same thing as a big lie, is it? Yeah. if we fabricate stuff or we make stuff up, some half-truth, that that usually just makes things worse. So we, on the witness stand in our life, and we have to answer the question, do you swear to respect the truth enough to speak the truth in love? It also plays out in not only our relationship with each other, but in our own self-awareness, in our relationship with who we are. It's not really right to say that it plays out in lying to God, because and if you think about it, you can't really lie to God, because God knows everything. He already knows. He knows what we're thinking before we think it, what we say before we say it, what we do before we do it, where we go before we go there. In essence, what happens in that scenario is that we deceive ourselves. That's what's happening. You want to think about it lying to God, you can think about it that way, but really, we're lying to ourselves. David Siemens put it this way once. He said, our sins don't keep us from God. Okay, think about that. Our sins don't keep us from God, but our attempts to cover up our sins do. Our sins don't keep us from God because of the cross, because Jesus died to forgive us, because no more, because of the cross, do we have our sins standing in a way of a relationship with God. Jesus took care of that for us. The problem is if we try to cover up our sins, if we try to deceive God, which actually we're just deceiving ourselves. We cover things up. We don't confess our sins. We don't humble ourselves before God. We aren't honest about that. That's the problem. That keeps us from a healthy relationship with God. Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts learned that lesson the hard way. The apostle Peter learned that lesson the hard way. You remember the night when Jesus was arrested and before he was crucified, Jesus kind of followed at a distance after, Peter followed at a distance after Jesus had been taken away. And that night, people were kind of huddled around in a public area around a fire trying to keep warm, and somebody said to Peter, hey, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And you remember what Peter said? No, I'm not. I didn't eat the candy. What are you talking about? Yeah, no, I know you're one of his followers. I've seen you before. Ah, you've got the wrong guy. Oh, come on, you're just fooling us. You're a follower of this guy that was just arrested, aren't you? No, I'll tell you, I don't know him. And then what happened? The rooster crowed. Exactly. Peter, you think you can lie to God? I don't think so. Peter was just deceiving, maybe deceiving others around him. I don't think so. I think they knew who he was. He was just more covering up for himself. And all of us are quite capable of weaving a tangled web of lies that build a fortress of deceitfulness around us. And if we stay in that fortress too long, then we start believing what's not true. Then we start accepting the stuff as true that's really false. We don't have a rooster who crows when we're being deceitful. We don't have a nose like Pinocchio that grows when we tell a lie. But maybe it would be nice to sometime, just so that we could all be honest with each other and with ourselves. But God has given us a gift. His presence through the Holy Spirit works to convict us, to kind of poke at our conscience when we're not being true. And if we allow God to work in that way, then even if we slip up and we tell something that's not true, we're not going to be able to live very long comfortable in that lie, and we'll work on making a confession. We'll work on making things right. We'll work on raising our right hand on the witness stand and swearing that I accept that I can't fool God, and I'll try to be honest, humble, and live a life of integrity. John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will convict the world. He will convict us of sin. So growing up, I enjoyed a kid's game. Maybe you've played hide and seek before. Yeah. And so around our house, we played different versions of hide and seek. Sometimes it was just hide away from one of my siblings and not let that person know that we're spying on them. But sometimes we played the game right. And even mom and dad once in a while played with us. I remember one time mom and dad played and they were counting. We're going to count to 10, you all hide. So we're inside, we could hide anywhere inside. And I found the best hiding place ever. Now remember, I'm a little boy at this point. And I decided to hide inside the dryer. And so I opened up, it was one of these front load dryers. No glass, just a, you know, you couldn't see into it. And so I opened it up, climbed inside, shut the door. And man, I was proud of myself. And in fact, after several minutes, the game was over. And mom and dad were calling out, okay, game's over. Scott, you won. All y'all in free. Y'all, come on out, wherever you are. And then I thought, just before I pushed the door open, I thought, wait, if they found out that I'm in the dryer, I'm going to get in trouble. And so I just stayed in there for a minute or two thinking about all this. And they're calling out my name. Come on out. It's okay. You won the game. And so I said, okay, I'll come out. Well, I pushed on the door and it wouldn't open. You can't open it from the inside. I don't know if clothes know that or not. Clothes can't get out of the dryer. It has to open from the outside. So I'm pushing on the door and it won't open. And then I'm wondering, how much air do I have left to breathe in here? And then I'm wondering, what if someone turns the dryer on? So I cried out, I'm in here! Help me! And of course, came and opened the door and I climbed out. I was never so glad to get out of the darkness into the light and get a big breath of fresh air. Some people live in the darkness of the lies that they tell or the life of lies that they lead. They don't need to stay in the darkness. If you're living in the shadow of some lie in your life, it's okay to come out of that shadow and step into the light. We're all surrounded by people who love us and care about us. And even if we confess that we've not been honest, that we've been deceitful about some things, usually in the circle of love, there's forgiveness and grace. There's a breath of fresh air and freedom that can come when you step out of the dryer of your lying to a life of honesty. Get it? Good. Before we pray, all morning I've just had a burden on my soul that surrounding this message that somebody here has just felt that, oh, this message is for me. I don't know who that would be. You might know that it's you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is using his hammer of conviction upon you right now and saying, hey, you know, you need to own up to this in your life. And I just want to encourage you that today it can stop. Today, God is opening up the door for you to step out of the shadow and into the light. And if you need to approach somebody and confess, and you need to say, I'm sorry, I've lied, I want you to know that today's that day, that living in that ongoing deceitfulness can stop right now, can stop today. And given the message that we've heard, the truth of the scripture that we've heard, the moving of the Holy Spirit in your mind, your heart, your conscience right now, it's a perfect opportunity. If you're feeling that in your heart and soul right now, it's a perfect opportunity to raise your hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you this morning that you've helped us own a universal sin. It's a sin we're all guilty of. Not telling the truth, not being honest, being deceptive about whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. And we thank you for the freedom that comes through your forgiveness. We thank you for the freedom that comes from the love of those around us. We thank you for the freedom that when we do mess up and we do say things that aren't true, or we don't say things that are true, there's grace. And Lord, I just sense that this morning there's a burden on somebody's heart. Maybe more than one person. Maybe there's several here this morning that have lied, maybe to people that are dear to them. Maybe there's somebody here who's just kind of been living in the shadows of some false understanding or expectation or reputation, whatever the case may be. And today is the day that they can move out of the shadows. I pray that you make that happen right now, that you put upon a soul a sense of conviction that moves a heart and a mind to humble confession. And then through that confession, Lord, just bring a sense of relief, a sense of a deep spiritual breath, a sense of light and love and grace into that soul. We know you're here this morning. We've heard you speak to us. We've sensed your spirit, your presence. Help us to respond in genuine, honest ways today. That's our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.